Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild pervitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome everybody. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. And it is April 29th, 2020. And I still haven't got my damn $1,200 stimulus check. I want to know where the hell my damn check is. Bringing it boy in the chat room. Robert, Suzette. Howdy. Hey, Art, let's hear something good. I got three trees dropped and cut up into 3-foot sections and crib stacked. That's some good news. I got that done today. Of course, it took me 2 days to do it, but, and these are some big trees, too, I tell you what. And I'm looking forward to the next, several weeks of my buddy shows up out here like he's supposed to sometime in this next coming week, shortly after the first of the month. And he brings his chainsaw. We'll be able to get double the work. And I just got a go ahead to do some logging over here on my cousin's property. He wants all the hardwoods gone. I got no problem with that. I'll take all the hardwoods you want to let me take. I'll go through that. How many 100 acres you got here? I'll take every hardwood you got out there. Anyway, all right, to get to what we didn't get to last night. Before we get to that, though, something I probably might bring up when I've got more time to get into it, and that's this thing called the TSP. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this, but it is the Thrift Savings Plan, TSP, Thrift Savings Plan. And this is a federal government-sponsored retirement saving and investment plan generally reserved for, like, military personnel and government employees and such as that can invest into this. And it goes kind of one step beyond the typical 401k that you and I could get. I don't have a 401k, but... this would go a little bit farther than that. And I learned something disturbing today that, the Fed kind of wants to, invest in this. Why? Or actually, the TSP, they want to take the TSP and use that to invest in China. why would you want to take a military personnel retirement system and use that to invest in, I don't know, you keep saying China's the enemy. I'm just saying. So look that up, the TSP, the Thrift Savings Plan, and do a little research. Find out for yourself if this is real. It's a little bit disturbing. Anyway, on with tonight's topics. Wanted to pick up where we left off last night since I wasn't able to get to the things I wanted, everything I wanted to get to last night. First thing on the list is hydroxychloroquine, vitamin C, famotidine, and this new one, we'll get to it very shortly. And Dr. Fucci is promoting this fourth one. Yay, go Dr. F. Dr. F. Wonder what kind of words we could slip into that one, right? First up, though, in this whole thing, you know, Trump, remember back a couple of weeks ago when Trump was touting the potential of hydroxychloroquine and was encouraging doctors to try this? And we had the Democrats coming out, oh, that is so terrible. The side effects are horrible. And you would do a little research and come to find out it's a malaria drug. It's a drug that's used to treat malaria. And there are virtually no side effects. It's perfectly safe. So what's the problem? Even though we've got several doctors around the country who have tried it, come back and said, you know, it does show some promise. Oh, no, we can't do that. And heaven forbid, a Detroit, Michigan branch of the Democrat Party plans to censure State Representative Karen Whitsett, Democrat from Detroit, after she met with President Trump earlier this month and praised him for recommending the antiviral drug used for treating the treatment of malaria, hydroxychloroquine, as a treatment for coronavirus. Winsett contracted coronavirus in March and has since recovered, and all she did was a little hydroxychloroquine treatment, and what do you know, she got better. But, oh no, you can't thank Trump. Oh my goodness, you crossed the line, you naughty Democrat, you. How dare you give Trump kudos for anything? Seriously? So we go from that to an April 28th article. Oh, yeah, that was just yesterday. The race for coronavirus vaccine. An Oxford group leads the charge. Yes, in the worldwide race for a vaccine to stop the coronavirus, the laboratory sprinting fastest is at Oxford University. Now, most other teams have had to start with small clinical trials of a few hundred participants to demonstrate safety. But scientists at the university's Jenner Institute had a head start on vaccine, having provided or proved in previous trials that similar inoculations, including one last year against an earlier coronavirus, were harmless to humans. Now, that's enabled them to leap ahead as scheduled tests of their new coronavirus vaccine involving more than 6,000 people by the end of next month, hoping to show not only that it's safe, but that it works. Now, it was interesting in this article, they didn't tell us what it is that they've been testing. Now, scientists at the National Institute of Health's Rocky Mountain Laboratory in Montana last month inoculated six rhesus macaque monkeys. They're a cute little monkey, okay? With single doses of the Oxford vaccine, and the animals were then exposed to heavy quantities of the coronavirus that's causing the pandemic, and had constantly sickened other monkeys in the lab. But more than 28 days later, all six of these little monkeys that had been injected with this Oxford vaccine all tested negative and were healthy. So there shows some promise right there. But again, they're not telling what it is that they're using. So as we move on, we have a popular, well, you ever had heartburn? Seriously. I mean, I think everybody at some point has had heartburn. I know I get it quite regularly, quite regularly, but you know, part of it might have something to do with the kinds of foods I eat and how I don't chew. I don't chew my food 40 times to swallow it. I generally stuff it in my face, chew 3, 4, 5 times, and then I swallow. And that's going to cause heartburn, of course. Comes with the territory. When you inhale your food, expect heartburn on a regular basis. But my body's kind of become accustomed to it. But in the chat room, does Oxford have any ties to Bill Gates? You know, I don't know. I haven't looked into that. But I bet if you did some looking, I don't know. Suzette does a lot of research. Have her check into that. I don't know if Bill Gates has any Oxford ties. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's tied to everything else. Kind of, yeah, we talked about this several days ago about when I had last Sunday, I had Alan Kutcher from Republic of Texas Radio on with me, and we discussed all the different things that Bill Gates was tied to, including the virology lab and the tests that they were doing back last year in October, November, December with coronaviruses. And also something else I learned today was, did you know that the U.S. military had taken control of the Chinese virus lab? I didn't know that. I just learned that today. I was stunned. I mean, I was shocked. The U.S. military took control of the Wuhan viral laboratory last December. Well, right around November, December, right when the outbreak began. When I learned that, if somebody had been here with a camera, I mean, that would have been a Kodak moment, because I'm sure the look on my face was probably an expression I've not used or exhibited or had in, I don't know, 20, 30 years. Anyway, but there's these testings, researchers have been playing around with famotidine, which is the active ingredient in Pepcid. Now, this is an over-the-counter medication that most, you know, it's generally used. Well, it's used for heartburn. You've seen the commercials for Pepcid. I don't have TV anymore, but I remember back years ago when I was watching TV, I remember the commercials for Pepcid. You go right into CVS or Rite Aid or any little place like that, and you can buy it right there, or it's right there in the aisles. But apparently this famotidine, which is the active ingredient, they've been kind of working a bit with this since about March 13th at the Norwell Health, which is a network of hospitals in New York. And they've been enrolling patients with positive COVID-19 results into their study. And they're showing, last time you watched TV, was it colored? Oh, you little smarty pants. Yes, it was color. Jeez. But anyway, so they've been doing this testing, and they're using, it's done through IV injection, where I guess IV is an intravenous, you know, they have the little bag of saline solution up there, and they put, you know, inject it, and they run the saline into your arm. Well, you know, they got the little thing there in the middle of the line where they can actually inject the medication directly into the line, and then it runs through the little dropper and then through into your arm, and that's how they've been administering it. And they say that they've been showing some very positive effects with that. Well, and hey, So now we're looking at, you know, this hydroxychloroquine. Oops, I'm sorry, can't promote that one because it's not approved. And it's all just conspiracy theory. But we've got now we've got this famotidine, which again is the active ingredient in Pepcid. But there's another one. Now this article came out just today in ABC on ABC's website, ABC News, and it's Dr. Fauci of all people, Dr. Fauci, who is promoting it, and here he is talking about it.
You do that and present
at a White House
a little bit detail because it's quite good news, and I'd be happy to share.
You want
to
talk about it now?
Go ahead, please. Okay, so a trial that the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which is the institute I direct, sponsored, called the Adaptive Covirus Disease Treatment Trial, ACCT-1, was started in February 21st of this year, and it was a randomized placebo-controlled trial comparing the Gilead drug remdesivir with a placebo. It was highly powered with about 1,090-plus individuals. So it is the first truly high-powered randomized placebo-controlled trial. It was an international trial involving multiple sites, not only in the United States, but in various countries throughout the world, including Germany, Denmark, Spain, Greece, the UK, et cetera. The primary endpoint was the time to recovery, namely the ability to be discharged. When you have a study like this, we have a data and safety monitoring board, which looks at the data. And they are independent, so there's no prejudice on the part of the investigators because they're doing the trial or the drug is from a certain company. The data and safety monitoring board on Monday afternoon contacted me on April 27th, first on Friday, the week before, and then again on April 27th, and notified the study team, namely the multiple investigators who are doing the study throughout the world, that the data shows that remdesivir has a clear-cut, significant, positive effect in diminishing the time to recovery. This is really quite important for a number of reasons, and I'll give you the data. It's highly significant. If you look at the time to recovery being shorter in the remdesivir arm, it was 11 days compared to 15 days, and that's a p-value for the scientists who are listening, of 0.001. So that's something that, although a 31% improvement doesn't seem like a knockout 100%, it is a very important proof of concept. Because what it has proven is that a drug can block this virus. And I'll give you an example in a moment of why we think, looking forward, this is very optimistic. The mortality rate trended towards being better in the sense of less deaths in the remdesivir group, 8% versus 11% in the placebo group. It has not yet reached statistical significance, but the data needs to be further analyzed. The reason why we're making the announcement now is something that I believe people don't fully appreciate. Whenever you have clear-cut evidence that a drug works, you have an ethical obligation to immediately let the people who are in the placebo group know so that they could have access. And all of the other trials that are taking place now have a new standard of care. So we would have normally waited several days until the data gets further, dot the I and cross the T, but the data are not going to change. Some of the numbers may change a little, but the conclusion will not change. So when I was looking at this data with our team the other night, it was reminiscent of 34 years ago in 1986 when we were struggling for drugs for HIV, and we had nothing. And there was a lot of anecdotal reports about things that maybe did work, maybe not. People were taking different kinds of drugs. And we did the first randomized placebo-controlled trial with AZT, which turned out to give an effect that was modest. But that was not the end game, because building on that every year after, we did better and better. We had better drugs of the same type, and we had drugs against different targets. This drug happens to be blocking a enzyme that the virus uses, and that's an RNA polymerase. But there are a lot of other enzymes that the virus uses that are now going to be targets for this. This will be the standard of care. And in fact, when we look at the other trials we're doing, we were going to do trial with another antiviral. Actually, it isn't an antiviral, it's an anti-inflammatory, a monoclonal antibody. We're going to now compare the combination of remdesivir with this. So as drugs come in, we're going to see if we could add on that. So bottom line, you're going to be hearing more details about this. This will be submitted to a peer-reviewed journal and will be peer-reviewed appropriately. But we think it's really opening the door to the fact that we now have the capability of treating, and I can guarantee you, as more people, more companies, more investigators get involved, it's going to get better and better. So I'll stop there, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Does that make you more comfortable?
Why don't you go first, and then you go.
Did any of this data change the timeline and the development of a vaccination?
No, this has nothing to do with vaccines. This is treatment for people who are already infected. Vaccines is to prevent infection in those who are at risk.
Do you have new data on that?
No, nothing more than that. What I continue at the press conferences that we have regularly, keep you up to date, that everything is on track.
All right, now keep in mind, he said this is not a vaccine. What this is a treatment for those who are already infected and are requiring hospital care. This is what he's telling us, which is good. This is a good thing. This is positive for sure. You wanted some good news, Robert. There's your good news. We have a drug that is showing very good results with regards to a treatment for those who are hospitalized due to the coronavirus. I call that really, really good news. Now, he did say, if you notice in the beginning of the clip, he was talking about this was a trial in many countries. It actually, in the article, it says 22 countries. And he did name off a few of them. And he said there was 1,090 patients in the test. The article says 1,063 patients. But either way, whether it's 1,063 or 1,090, that's a lot of people. And when you're doing this testing in 22 different countries, now you're talking about global testing with a broad number of people. People from all walks of life, all races, all, short, fat, short, tall, fat, skinny, black, white, brown, yellow, olive colored, that would be your Jews. So you're talking a wide range testing. This is how it should be done. You know, Democrats could actually learn a little something here. But it's very, very positive when he says, days to recover with the drug were 11 days compared to 15 days, for those with the placebo. And the mortality rate was down to 8% compared to 11%, of those doing the placebo. This is all good news. It's all good news. And, these are the clear-cut significant positive effect in diminishing the time of recovery. And, again, as he said, what this proves is that there is a drug that can block the virus. And that is reason to be optimistic. And so this is good news. I'm glad to hear this. This is, yes, absolutely. But there is something that bothers me. And I mean, this is, Shelby Township in Michigan. Let me go to this other computer here. turn up the volume so you can hear it. I can't play it. I wasn't able to download it. It wouldn't let me download, but, you know, I can still play, and then the microphone can pick it up. But I've got two clips here, two news reports. This is coming out of Shelby Township at the Allure Medical Clinic. Okay, why am I not getting volume here?
Stupid.
Oops. Maybe if I turn the volume the right way. Let's try this again. Okay, ready? This is, Shelby Township, Allure Medical.
Right, Alan, it is the first of its kind. Since the start of the pandemic, the FBI conducting a raid in hazmat suits at a Shelby Township medical clinic. They're accused of using a fake treatment for coronavirus patients and even putting those patients in danger inside the clinic. The raid happened at the Allure Medical Spa on 26 Mile Road near Van Dyke. 7 Action News reporter Jim Kurtzner is out there with more.
It was a special setup for this raid, with the FBI putting on PPE as they went inside this medical clinic with a search warrant, seeking medical records and physical evidence.
The investigation includes allegations that the clinic provided fraudulent treatments for COVID-19 and that the clinic did not observe proper protocols to protect patients and staff from the virus.
The FBI spokesperson would not say what specific treatment they were investigating, except to say it was on the clinic website. We found this posting. We have been using intravenous vitamin C therapy to treat COVID-19 and non-hospitalized patients with great results. The founder of Allure Medical is Dr. Charles Moak, who was on Channel 7 promoting a book about helping women get through menopause with testosterone treatments.
And we're trying to get the word out that this is a safe option for women. You don't have to suffer through symptoms of menopause.
Mm-hmm. Our efforts to reach the doctor today were not successful. It's not known how many patients may have gotten the vitamin C COVID-19 treatment or how many patients may have been exposed to COVID-19 in the clinic.
If any patients or staff have concerns about their health or exposure to COVID-19, we urge them to contact a trusted health care provider immediately.
The marquee name on this building is McLaren Medical, but McLaren says the clinic just rents space. The FBI also has on the scene Health and Human Services in what is called the first of its kind raid during the pandemic.
And they're part of our healthcare fraud task force, so they're assisting us in this investigation.
The FBI says this investigation continues. No one has been taken into custody. In Shelby Township, Jim Kurtzner, 7 Action News.
Now, I'm not a doctor, okay? And I don't play one on TV. But, you know, I kind of wonder, you know, this is, they're calling the Allure Medical Spa. I've never heard of a medical spa before, but hey, you know, I don't know everything, you know. I would imagine there are ways of doing intravenous vitamin C therapies, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, I've heard a lot of talk lately about, you know, people who take high doses of vitamin C supplements daily. And I've heard this on several different talk radio broadcasts, where medical professionals, people in the medical field, have come on as guests and have said that people who take elevated doses of vitamin C, for example, supplements daily, tend to be more resistant to viral infections and such things as this. They didn't mention the coronavirus. They just said people who take high doses of vitamin C supplements daily as part of their daily regimen are less likely to become infected with viruses and will tend to show a greater resistance, which does make sense to me. The common cold, it is a virus. The cold is not a bacteria. The cold is a virus. And, you know, I remember when I was younger and I would get a cold, Mama would take me to the doctor and the doctor would tell me, you know, vitamin C, lots of vitamin C. My grandma swore by it. you know, and so we, you know, whether you liked it or not, you ate a grapefruit twice a week. You ate a grapefruit because grapefruit are really high in vitamin C. We were always eating oranges and lemons and limes, especially lemons and limes have a very high vitamin C content. And as long as we did this, as long as we were eating all of these fruits loaded with vitamin C, and we ate lots of apples and lots of bananas, we ate a lot of fruit when I was a youngin'. And we didn't hardly ever get sick. And Grandma said it was because of the fruits and veggies that we ate daily. So, you know, it made sense. Chat room says Vox has posted that ketamine helps with COVID. Okay. I've heard about ketamine before, and I've heard it works wonders on several things, but I haven't. This is the first I've heard that it helps with COVID. That's an interesting. That's interesting. Might have to look that up a little bit later. But hey, I'm not gonna poo-poo anything at this point, because I'm willing to look at anything at this point that makes sense. And ketamine has a lot of benefits. So hell, why not? It couldn't hurt, right? It couldn't hurt. Okay, here's another clip. This also was for the Allure Medical Spa, and this is another report that was done on WXYZ TV Channel 7. That first report was Channel 7 Action News, and this apparently it's going to be the same news channel, but a little bit later. This was the next live report that they had came out on this.
Okay, let's hope this connection's a little bit better. I know my last one was a little spotty there. It's Jen Shantz. I'm reporting just up 26 Mile Road outside a medical office here in Shelby Township. You can see a lot of activity behind me. The FBI, this is a joint task force operation with the FBI and the Department of Health and Human Services. They're executing a search warrant right behind me here at a medical office called Allure Medical Spa. Now, the nature of that search warrant right now is still unclear, but I did confirm with the FBI that this, again, is a joint operation with HHS. Several agents have been on scene here since about 8 o'clock this morning. We've noticed that agents are wearing protective gear, some of them even full body suits of protective gear, and of course they've got gloves and face masks on. The FBI says right now that's just a precautionary measure. Again, we do not know the nature of this raid, but we're working to confirm that. I know that Shelby Township Police are on scene here. They're just assisting. We've reached out to Allure Medical Spa for some answers. I'm told that staff here was actually working. The office was open this morning when the raid started. So the business was open when the search warrant was executed. We are in contact with law enforcement to try to get additional information. We're going to have the very latest coming up on Channel 7 at noon, and then we're going to have another report coming up this evening as we gather more details. But I did just want to bring you up to speed with what we know so far. Hey, everybody, if you're just joining us, again, I'm here in Shelby Township, just off 26 Mile Road. Yes, 26 Mile Road. I'm just outside Allure Medical Spa, where federal agents are in the process of collecting boxes of evidence. We've seen several agents carry a lot of boxes of evidence out. I'm told that they're collecting documents. It's unclear if they're also collecting electronic data, but the FBI does tell me that they brought out several boxes of evidence, including documents. So again, a lot of unanswered questions right now. All we know is that there is a federal search warrant being executed right here at Allure Medical Spa.
Okay, so, and it was kind of funny as you're watching that clip there, the woman there, the reporter, she's got like this crocheted knitted scarf or whatever wrapped around her face, and it just kept trying to fall down, and she kept trying to push it back up again. I see in the chat room bringing it, boy, says that ketamine is very dangerous. While that clip was playing, I actually looked up ketamine. It's obviously this is not what I was thinking of. I was obviously thinking of something else. But now I'm reading this ketamine. This is not what there's something else. I remembered hearing something about another some kind of supplement or something that people were saying was helping with the COVID. And I thought you were talking about, I thought that the ketamine was it, but here is ketamine is most known for its history of abuse as a club drug, but also one of the biggest breakthroughs in treating severe depression. It works like a flash mob, temporarily taking over certain chemical receptors. In some cases, with expert medical care, that can be a good thing. But cross that line, it's big trouble. Your doctor probably won't give it to you as an antidepressant yet. Let me see, go back here. It's been according to Wikipedia. Now, what I was reading just then come from WebMD. Wikipedia says it's a medication mainly used for starting and maintaining anesthesia. It induces a trance-like state while providing pain relief, sedation, and memory loss. Other uses include sedation in intensive care and the treatment of pain and depression. So this obviously is not what I was thinking of. I see a chat. A link has been dropped in the chat room, Forbes.com, the psychedelic therapy, COVID-19. Okay, I might have to take a look at that later. But obviously the ketamine is not what I thought it was, what I was thinking of. But anyway, so, you know, with this vitamin C thing, I don't know. I've never heard of vitamin C being injected, being done intravenously, but apparently no one's died from this. But again, I remember, you know, years ago being told that people who take large doses of vitamin C every day, people eat a lot of oranges and lemons and limes and grapefruit and such things as that, are going to be more resistant against viruses. So who knows, maybe a vitamin C IV? I don't know. I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV and I don't pretend to be one, but hey, if they're getting good results, I'm not going to argue with them. Okay. Moving on. Getting out away from the COVID ID or the COVID 19 thing. Very troubling article came out yesterday on ABC Channel 14 News. In Houston, Texas. This, I see Hamestrat just popped into the chat room. Howdy, brother. This I find very disturbing. There's this place called the Buffalo Grill in Houston, Texas. And it started out giving first responders, police, fire department, EMTs, all of these meals at like a 50% discount. That was their original thing. You know, if first responders, 50%, you know, your meals are 50%. This is the Buffalo Grill in Houston. But they began the, let me see if I can find the date. Can't find the date. I believe it was right at the first of this month. I don't see the date in here. I thought they gave a date in the article, but here it is. Buffalo Grill has been feeding every first responder as of April 1st. Okay? They started out up until the 1st of this month. They were giving first responders, police, fire department, EMTs, such as that, first responders, 50% off your meals. Well, beginning on April 1st, the 1st of this month, they started feeding first responders for free. If you were a police officer, an EMT, a firefighter, whatever, your meal was free. Well, by God, they got a big donation. They didn't say where the donation came from, but as of Saturday, just this past Saturday, when the donation was given anonymously, they decided to continue free lunch. Somebody stepped forward with a big donation saying, here you go, pay for those lunches. So they're going to continue free lunches for first responders. However, the firefighter came in and got his lunch. And while he was in there waiting to get his lunch to go, I guess, he noticed a group of police officers sitting outside, because the Buffalo Grill has outside seating. They were sitting outside, and they were not following social distancing protocols. So he told the people inside, he said, you need to kind of tell them about the social distancing kind of thing. Well, the people in the restaurant, they really felt uncomfortable about that. I'm assuming somebody said something. I don't know who, but somebody said something to him. 15 minutes later, after the fireman left, 15 minutes later, let me see if I can find exactly what it says. Here it is. About 15 minutes later, a different set of police officers were sitting there, and the hearth marshal arrived and requested them to depart and wrote a detective violation, I believe is what they called. And the police were like absolutely shocked. You know, if we're in violation, well, we'll choose to recognize. But here's the thing. These are first responders, and they're being cited by the fire marshal for not following social distance orders. This, seriously, you want to talk about power tripping. I don't observe them. Hell, if you want to stand right next to me and shake my hand and we can breathe back and forth, and just as long as you're not literally spitting on me, I don't care. You know, but then again, I did make it very clear, like when Governor Kemp first announced the stay home orders and all that, I publicly denounced that in town. I don't hide. I don't care. I don't hide. Oh, you know, I don't have enough time. I was going to play the Trump versus Obama clips on, you know, stupid things that have been said about medicine, but we don't have enough time for that. This I found disturbing. In the New York Times yesterday, a top emergency room doctor at Manhattan Hospital that treated many coronavirus patients died by suicide this past Sunday. Dr. Lauren M. Breen, medical director of the emergency department at New York Presbyterian Allen Hospital, died in Charlottesville, Virginia, where she was staying with family, and she committed suicide. I don't even know how to respond to this. This takes me back to the banking bailout nightmare when bankers were literally jumping out windows, committing suicide because they couldn't take the stress of faltering stocks and revenue. it puts me in mind of the farmers over in India who were committing suicide because the genetically modified bullshit seed that literally destroyed their livelihoods and they couldn't provide for their family. I mean, that's what I think of when I read articles like this. There is no reason our doctors should be committing suicide. This I find very troublesome, and it goes to show these people are under incredible stress, and I feel for them. But this is absolutely unacceptable. So I ask that you pray for the family of that doctor. I'm sorry, that just... Okay, coronavirus and Social Security. ...2020 Social Security and Medicare trustees report published Wednesday showed that Social Security could pay full scheduled benefits until 2035 and that the Medicare's Hospital Insurance Trust Fund would be depleted earlier in 2026. Now, they can use any excuse in the chat room. I bring in a voice that's heavy. Yeah, that I... Oh, man. I almost wasn't going to mention the article about that doctor, but I just felt compelled to share it, even though it... Man. It is everything for me to hold it together at this point. And I am not the kind of guy that is emotionally driven or easily affected at this level. But stuff like this just, it freaking eats me up inside. Kind of like the reports we were getting of police officers in New York committing suicide several years ago. I don't know if you heard about it, but it was when they began to learn the truth about September 11th. And these were the first responders who worked the site at Ground Zero. And when they learned the truth of September 11th, they couldn't handle it, so they killed themselves. This kind of shit just... Anyway, an analysis from a bipartisan policy center gives a hint as to just how much the current downturn could bite into Social Security. Here's the problem. Social Security is a program, although we now know it's a socialist program. It's a program that was designed to help elderly people when they could no longer work, were ready to retire. This was their retirement. Also, what a lot of people don't know is there's two different types of disability benefits through Social Security. Actually, one's a benefit, the other is an entitlement. The benefit is for people who have never worked, like children. Now, there is a Social Security benefit program that helps with them. But there is a Social Security entitlement program for disabled people who have worked and have gotten the required 40 credits. And you have to have 40 credits, which means you've had to have worked for a long damn time before you can qualify for the entitlement program of disability under Social Security. But this is a safety net that you have paid into through all the years of working. The problem with this, and a lot of people don't know this, is that the Clintons and the Bushes and others kept tapping into the Social Security coffers and replacing it with IOUs until, folks, the truth is there is no money in the Social Security coffers anymore. It's nothing but a shoebox full of IOUs. That's all there is. It is the people that are working today who are paying the beneficiaries today. Because the money that you and I have paid into Social Security all these years, that money's been gone since the Clinton administration. Okay? It's gone. So they can say what they want. It's gone. Okay. Real quick, try to get through this real quick here. And this is the coming possible. Yeah, Obama put it back, didn't he? No, in the chat room. But Obama put the money back? No, he didn't. In fact, Obama created, you know, he increased the national debt more than all presidents prior to him. And now Trump has done the same thing. Trump outdid Obama. Anyway, possible coming food crisis, food shortage. What do you think? Possibly? Well, we've already heard about Smithfield Foods and their pork production facility out there. I get, what was it, Salt Lake? Or I forget where. I'm going to get into this again tomorrow. We're just going to touch on it very briefly tonight, just in a few minutes. We talked about Smithfield Foods and their pork production plant being shut down in Sioux Falls. That was it. We've talked about the Chesterfield County poultry farmers who are having to euthanize several of their turkey flocks and whatnot because of an avian flu. We've heard of this new strain of African swine flu that's been detected in the pig herds in China. Now we have Tyson, one of the United States' biggest meat processors, saying that the supply chain is breaking. Quote, as pork, beef, and chicken plants are being forced to close, even for short periods of time, millions of pounds of meat will disappear from the supply chain. This comes from John Tyson, chairman of the board of Tyson Foods, also saying that as a result, there will be limited supply of our products available in grocery stores until we're able to reopen our facilities that are currently closed. He's actually coming out and telling us right now, he's telling us there's a food shortage already. We also have a chicken processing company based in Delaware. They just killed nearly 2 million chickens just this month. It's getting worse and worse as time goes on. I've even got a link here of farmers dumping milk, smashing eggs, plowing their fields under. Folks, we have got a food crisis right around the corner. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, because we just really didn't have enough time to get into it this evening. But we will talk about this more tomorrow. In the meantime, I want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening. Hope it's been insightful and informative. Please take care of yourself, take care of each other, and remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. For American Renegade, I'm Art Underground. Be safe out there. Thank you.
now you're gone. Make it you're free. Now you're gone, make it you free. Now you're gone, make it you free.